Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just want to praise you right now because we know that at some point, in some way, we're all going to go home. We're going to go and see heaven. We're going to go before you in that moment, in that day, in that time, when you open the books and those that will be judged and the dead in Christ will rise and we'll go forward and to do what you called us to do. And we will move into that next heaven, and the great Jerusalem comes upon the earth, as we talk about in Revelation. Tonight is about in the presence of Jesus. And as we just finished worshiping, and we were going to turn this over now, slowly turn this over, as I get everything set, my wife Miranda is going to share her testimony about the goodness of God in her life, and in what God is doing in her life. So I've got Clapper and TikTok ready.
All right.
Here we go. Without further ado, Miranda Caverly will be sharing with you tonight the In the Presence of Jesus, her personal testimony, what God has done, the dreams and visions. And we're going to start with correlating this, connecting this to Asbury. And for those of you that are looking on TikTok, you're just seeing Miranda right now, which that's fine. But those of you in Facebook and YouTube, you're seeing the both of us, so we kind of have this dialogue. As I discussed the other day, we were talking about how, you know, Asbury's happened before, and it kind of goes back to the funny story about what happened to the dead guy when he ended up on Elisha's bones, and he came back to life. Same thing with this Asbury. A lot of people are talking about, well, what about all the other places that we've known revivals and restorations and outpourings and all those different things have happened? What is God about to do? We also know God talks about doing a new thing. So what is this new thing that's happening, Miranda?
Okay. Well, when Jeremy and I were discussing about what was going on at Asbury College, he was like, man, I don't understand why people would travel all the way from, like, Chile and use up all their money and travel all the way to that little town in Kentucky just to be in that revival. And I said, oh, I understand it 100%. I said, he goes, you do? He says, well, then why would people do that? I said, well, how far would you go and how much would you give to be in the presence of Jesus? He said, I never thought of that. And I said, think about in the Bible, how many times there was multitudes of people would follow him wherever he went. Think about that. They had to walk. They were walking hundreds of miles sometimes. I think about the two friends that removed the roof of the place where Jesus was so they could lower their friend down through the roof so he could be healed. Jesus is there. He is there. And people are hungry. Who is he drawing? And it even said, people are coming to repentance. People are just praying and crying and repenting. There was people giving testimony to that. It wasn't about singing. It was literally people just hungry to repent. God has convicted them of their sins. And they are at the altar, they are confessing, they are praying, and they're just running to Jesus. And I understand it. I mean, I've been there. But it wasn't my choice. I didn't even know what was happening. But first, before I get into my testimony, let's talk the scripture. This is the scripture I use when Jeremy was talking about people traveling to go to that revival. And I said, well, Jesus is there. How far were you willing to go to be in the presence of Jesus? It says in Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21, says, when Jesus heard about John, meaning that John the Baptist had been in prison, he left there privately in a boat and went to a secluded place. But the crowds heard of this. The crowds heard that he was leaving, he was going away, And they followed him on foot from the cities while Jesus got in a boat and was, you know, going down the sea and everything by, you know, easily. These people, a multitude of people, over 5,000 to be more precise, followed him on foot from the cities. And when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt profound compassion for them and healed their sick. When evening came, the disciples came to him and said, "This is an isolated place and the hour is already late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they replied, "We have nothing except for 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And we're going to stop there. Although he blessed the food and he multiplied. Not only did he fed them spiritually, but he fed them physically. And I think he not only met their spiritual need, but he met their physical need. And we are forgetting to do that. People, yes, we just preach the gospel, but how can someone willingly listen to the gospel when their stomachs are growling? What did he do? He healed them before he said he had compassion. He healed their sick and then he preached. If you're suffering a pain, and okay, for example, I've been through this myself with the Crohn's disease. Somebody's saying, "Well, you just need to blah, 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 and are you a Christian?" And do, and, you know, they want to preach at me, but they're not willing. And a lot of times they don't even pray with me to even, sometimes they just want to preach, and they don't want to pray for, have compassion, pray for healing. They just want to judge. And at some point in our lives, every one of us has been there. So with that, but they were willing to go follow him, to be in his presence, to be with him. How far are you willing to go? Well, when I was 15 years old, I went to heaven and I thought I was dead. And the reason that I went to heaven was because I had been praying for 2 weeks to die. I had completely given up. I was only 15 years old. And I was thinking about killing myself, but I knew that was a sin. I knew I would go straight to hell. So I just started praying, "Jesus, I know I can't kill myself, but I can't go on." I was truly at the end of myself. And there had been a lot going on. I mean, it wasn't typical, you know, high school stuff. My parents were divorced. I felt trapped in the middle of that. There was this conflict, you know, all around our family, totally dysfunctional environment. And, plus in school was completely dysfunctional. This was back in 1996. And I had gotten saved at the age of 12 and I had been a Christian, you know, 3 years. And I, you know, I was beginning to play the drums. That was the year I, started playing the drums professionally for church. But it was after this event happened that I went, then I was given the opportunity to play. And if I had killed myself, I would never have played drums. I would not be here today at the age of 40, almost 42. But God knew what I was going to go through in the future, and he knew I could not make it this far. He knew that I was going to be stalked and have a man threaten to shoot me with a gun in the middle of a church service when I was 16 years old. He knew that I was going to mess up and marry a man who would try to murder me. But he made a way out for that. And he knew that eventually I was going to be diagnosed with Crohn's disease and I would that would be the hardest fight of my entire life. It truly has been. And so at age of 15, 1996, I was praying every night to die. Crying out to Jesus, please, just take me home. I can't do this anymore. I just want to come home. And then one night, and it was a school night, too, that this happened. And so after all of this happened, mind you, I had to get up and go to school. And I didn't exactly know how to tell anybody about this until, you know, a few years later. But I went to bed one night on a school night. And next thing I know, I'm in heaven. And I'm standing at the pearly gates. One of them, because there's 12. And I'll get to all the scripture, the how scripture confirms everything that I saw. But I'm dead. And I wasn't sad. I didn't think, oh my gosh, you know, I had no thought of the world below. I had no thought, oh, my family's going to find me, you know, my mom or my sister's going to find me dead in my bed. No, all I thought about was I'm home and I'm getting ready to see Jesus. And the gate opened, and I walked just inside, and it was just bright light, like a spotlight, you know, it's that bright, all around. And I didn't really see anything, because it was just light everywhere. And then and I look over, and I see somebody walking from my right side to my left, and they walk in front of me, and they say, "Hi, Miranda." And it was my great-grandmother, my great-grandma, Naomi James, who had died when I was 10. And I was very, very close to her. And she was the first person that passed away that I actually really cried over. And I see my mama, and I went, and she looked a lot younger than she did when she passed away. But I recognized her still. She looked still like herself. And I said, "Mama," and she said, "Yes, hi, Miranda." And she just kept walking by. And then next thing, I see a young man about my age, and he's got blonde hair, and he looks like he's about 15, and he says, "Hi, Miranda." And I recognize him, but only because I've seen his picture on my grandparents' table. It was my uncle, my dad's brother, Craig, who had drowned in a pond when he was 15 years old. And I said, "Craig?" And he goes, "Yeah, it's me. Hi." And he just kept walking on by. And the next thing, I look around, and there's just a multitude. I can't even count them, just hundreds of people all around me. And I recognized someone, but it was overwhelming. And they were all standing and kind of encircling me. And I was just kind of, I go, "Oh my gosh, this is, you know," and then suddenly everybody started kind of separating and making an aisle, a path. And I look up, and here comes Jesus. And as it says in the way he looked, he's not a white man. He is Jewish. He looks like a Jewish man, and he's tall. My head went to kind of the top of his chest. And, so he's over 6 feet tall. I'm only 5 foot three. So so he's like 6 foot something. And he was young. He, you know, looked like he was in his 30s, and he did not have long hair as the pictures always imply. His hair was actually about right here. His clothes, and the way he looked is how it's described in Matthew chapter 17, where it says here, and it says, when the transfiguration says 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, the brother of James, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And his appearance changed dramatically in their presence. His face shone like the sun with heavenly glory, clear and bright. And his clothing became as white as light. that's exactly what Jesus looked like when I was standing in front of him in heaven. His skin was like golden, kind of bronze, like very tan, but it was kind of glow. And his clothing, it was just bright white. And so he was a light of his own that was shining separate from the light that was illuminating all around heaven. But I didn't see anything. It was like kind of like everything was blurred out. I didn't see, you know, the streets of gold. I didn't see anything else. He hid that from me. And Jesus walks up and I thought, oh, I'm home. And I just start crying and I'm just so happy. And I thinking, you know, he's going to tell me I come home. My prayers have been answered. But he walks straight up to me and Jesus looks at me and he says, Miranda, he says, why are you praying this prayer? And that was not what I was expecting. And I just started crying. And I said, I want to come home. I just can't do this anymore. And he said, Miranda, it's not your time. You have to stop praying this prayer. And I said, and I just started crying. And he wrapped his arms around me and pulled me to him and hugged me. And people said, if you ever, can you imagine what it'd be like to touch those nail scarred hands or to touch the side that was pierced tonight? And Jeremy always looks at me and he says, you don't have to imagine, you know. And Jesus has hugged me and I said, please don't make me go back, please. I mean, once you've been in the presence of Jesus, you don't want to leave, do you? I mean, if you have had an encounter, it's just like at the Asbury revival, people didn't want to leave. They were like, I didn't want to leave. You don't. But we have to, just like I had to. And the only way that I was able to was because he put his strength in me. And so while he's holding me, he's telling me, he said, Miranda, you have to understand, it's not your time. There are people down there on earth that you need to help. And if you're not there, there won't be anybody to help them. Because there are people down there that only you can help. And that's what he said to me. And that's literally it. And he's holding me. And all of a sudden, and I'm thinking, I'm like, I have to go back. But how do I leave now that I've been in the house? How do I leave after I've been here? And I've seen my great-grandma. I've seen my Uncle Craig. I've seen Jesus. And he's touching me. And I don't want to leave. And suddenly, it was just like this, he put his strength in me. And I felt like something enter me. And I found the strength to look at him. And I just looked up at him. And I stepped back and I said, okay, I'll go back. And immediately I just went, whew. It was just like a rush of wind just pushed me out of the gates. And they closed and I felt myself falling and I felt myself falling for a long time. And then suddenly I felt myself enter my body and I woke up. And when I woke up, I was gasping for air, going like I hadn't, like, you know, I hadn't breathed, caught a breath in, you know, 2 minutes or something. Like I was, you know, had not been alive. When I woke up, it was still dark out and it wasn't time to get up to go to school yet. And I just laid there and I was like, I was speechless. I didn't know what to do. But after that day, I never prayed that prayer again. I never tried to commit suicide. Voluntarily, the only time that I actually attempted suicide, I was on, I had been put on these medications by a psychiatrist and it nearly killed me. I had an anaphylactic reaction and it sent me so out of my head. Now, this was in my late 20s when this happened. And I attempted suicide, and I didn't even know I had done it. I really didn't know what I had done. And so I was just clearing my head, and that was the last time I was ever on any kind of medication like that. Let's put it that way. But in that time, so from the age of 15 until now, and I'm going almost, I'll turn 42 in May. A lot of days, that's the only thing that got me through was just knowing Jesus is real. I have seen him. I know heaven's real. I've been there. I know I have family waiting for me because I've seen them. And nobody can take, the devil can't take that from me. Nobody can take that from me. And that's why I'm still here and still fighting. And there's a lot of times I've gotten to share this privately. I don't share this publicly a lot, but privately, I've shared it a lot of times. And the reason I share it is because at the end, and if you're watching right now, I always say this. If you're listening, you're watching, you're the reason I'm alive right now. And I'm still here. And I'm not gone home to heaven yet, because it's not my time, because I still have to share this testimony and other parts of my testimony to give hope to others that are at the end of their, at the end of themselves, ready to end it. You know, the world is making suicide and euthanasia such a wonderful thing anymore. But let me tell you
that verse in red.
But let me tell you something. I will.
Okay.
It's only going to send you to a devil's hell, because the hell was made for the devil and his demons, not for us. The devil doesn't rule over hell. He will be tormented just as much as those who do not follow Christ are. So, and you know, with the Crohn's disease, my body, I've been fighting Crohn's disease basically since I was 2 years old. I've had symptoms and all that since I was two, and I'm almost 42 now. But I wasn't diagnosed until 12 years ago, officially, and they tried to start treating it. And I've seen Jesus, which keeps me going every day. I came close to dying two times in the past 6 years from anaphylactic reaction to Crohn's disease medication. And I'm not on anything for it anymore because I'm allergic to everything. And the doctor sent me home six years ago. The doctor sat me down and said, look, there's nothing left to try. You're allergic to everything. You've had two anaphylactic reactions in 6 months. If you have another one, it's going to be fatal. You're going to go in an anaphylactic shock and you're going to die. So they sat me down, sat my family down, and said, this is the end. You know, there's nothing to do until basically she's in a life and death situation, meaning my bowel is either permanently blocked or has perforated, burst. And they have to try to get me into emergency surgery and maybe save my life. Now, that's a pretty grim diagnosis, but I know what Jesus showed me, and I know what Jesus told me. I'm not going home until it's my time. And so for the past 12 years, you know, especially these 6 years, that is truly the only thing that's kept me going, because, and I did just get some more bad news. Basically, the only vital organs I have that are not now having problems is my heart and lungs. My kidneys, my liver, my pancreas, my entire GI tract from my mouth to the other end of me has horrific issues. My mind has problems from brain fog and post-traumatic stress disorder. And, you know, there's a lot of things wrong, but I'm still here and I'm still fighting. And people say, do you think God will heal you? I said, oh, absolutely, he'll heal me. I said, one way or another, I'm being healed. He'll either heal me while I'm still here, but again, I'm going to have to die of something else. We all have to die of something. But eventually my healing will come fully, completely, when I go back to heaven. And I don't have to come back to this earth anymore and be in this body, because this body is falling apart. But and I talked to my family and I said, you know, I've survived so much, you know, and the stress, you know, and most of my family, almost every, but all four of my grandparents were diagnosed with heart problems. My sister has a heart problem. I mean, that's what killed my grandfather, my mom's dad. All my family basically has heart problems. But for some reason, I don't. But I have all this other stuff, but I don't. And I made a comment over a week ago, a couple weeks ago, and told my family, and I said, you know what? He had to give me a strong heart because he, to be able to bear what I was, he knew I was going to go through. And without knowing, I was actually quoting Psalm 73:26. And this is just one of my life verses. Now that everybody says, what's your life verse? I actually have two. And this is one of them. It says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And that goes back to when I was in heaven and I felt this strength enter me, because that's exactly what he did. He put his strength in my heart so I could go on. And, so now I've shared the vision. Let's talk about the scriptures that back up. Because if you have a vision, or if you're given a dream or a vision, it has to be backed up by scripture. So I shared with you at the beginning about the way Jesus was transfigured on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. when Moses and Elijah came to speak to him, and how his face shone like the sun and his clothing was as white as light. And that's exactly the way Jesus looked when I saw him in heaven. But let's go to the gates. Are there gates in heaven? Well, in Revelation 21:21, it said, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each separate gate was of one single pearl. And the street broadway of the city was pure gold, like transparent crystal. Now, I did not see the ground, but I saw the gate, and it was white like a pearl. But that, I don't know which gate I went through, but I went through one. I stepped just inside one of the 12. And then, this goes back to how, when I got there, it was just bright light. But then when Jesus came, it was like he was his own light, you know, because his face shone like the sun. So he was just like his own light, but he wasn't as bright as the light around all of us. And Revelation 21:23 says, why? It says, and the city has no need of the sun nor of the moon to give light to, for the glory, splendor, radiance of God has illuminated it, and the Lamb is its lamp and light. So God himself is illuminating it all around, but Jesus, the Lamb, is its lamp and light. And that's why I said it was just like Jesus was his own light illuminated. And over the years, there's been people share that they've been to heaven. I've been in services where people have shared that they went to heaven. They were given a glimpse of heaven. And then after they were done, I'll stand up and I say, I can confirm that what this person says is true because I've seen it too. I've been there too. And it's amazing. We're out there. Why? So why would Jesus do that? Because he reveals himself to us all eventually, and in some way. But he knew my way, my path in this life was hard, and that he had to show me, he had to reveal himself to me, because that's what's kept me going. That hope that I get to go home and be with Jesus in heaven and with my family that I've seen there. Now you can choose to believe that or not, but I pray the Lord reveals himself to you through this message, and that if you're sitting here and you're thinking about killing yourself, just as I was when I was 15 years old, and you may be suffering with multiple chronic illnesses like I am, and you can't even hardly get out of the house a lot of times. I've been there too. I live it every day. But the only thing that keeps me going is that when I wake up and there's breath in my lungs and there's still life in this body, that means there's still work for me to do. Whether it be in crocheting a hat or a scarf for a little girl that's in need, or answering a phone call, answering a text message, just being an ear to listen when someone's in need, giving them a financial donation to somebody who has a financial need that they can't meet on their own. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. I've still got things to do. I may not be able to travel like I used to when I was young and in my 20s and travel and play music for Jesus like I used to and do puppets and travel and do a lot of, you know, ministry in church buildings and stuff like that. But he's still got work for me to do. And if nothing else, the day I die, on the day of my funeral, if nothing else, just that I lived every day until Jesus took me home, in spite of everything that this world and the devil and everything tries to throw at me. That at my funeral, that someone says, I want to follow Jesus. That's all that matters. That is all that matters. Well, that's all I've got, because that's all I'm allowed to say. I can't add to it. I can't take away from it, because he gave it to me. But that's just a piece of the amazing things Jesus has shown me that I've experienced in my walk with Jesus since I was, since I was born. And I hope you've enjoyed and you've been blessed and inspired. And so that when we listen to songs about heaven, like Jeremy shared that I'm going home, when the streets are going, Jeremy's like, you'll never be able to sing that song. And I said, no. Because when you start talking about what heaven looks like and what it's going to be like, I start crying. Especially that song, This Is Just What Heaven Means to Me. That old Southern gospel song. And the reason I cry is because I long for it. I long for it so badly. And I told Jeremy, and I said, if I do go before you and I'm laying there on my deathbed, I said, I'm not waiting on you to tell me I can go. A lot of people will hold on until their family says, you can go now. Nope. I said, as soon as I can go, I'm going, and you don't. And understand, and they do. I mean, one of the, over the years, I've, talked to my grandparents about this, and my sister and my mom, and, any of my family. And I said, if you go before me, and I told my poppy this, my grandfather, who was just like my dad, my dad's dad, he passed away a little over 3 years ago. But years before, a few years before the Alzheimer's took him completely, we had a good conversation. I told him, I said, promise me that when I get there, you're there waiting on me. Then you tell me. I just want to hear you say, Miranda, it was just as you said it was. It was just as wonderful as you said it would be. That's the first thing I want to hear from my family. And my papa's up there now. Both my grandfathers are. And I've talked to my grandmothers and my mom and my dad and everybody about it. And I said, if you go before me, promise me when I get there, and you're waiting for me at the gate, just like my mom, Craig, was all those years ago, you tell me whether or not it was just as I said it was, would be. And they said, oh, I can't wait. And just, it makes them long for it, too. It makes them excited. But and people have asked me, said, Jesus will ever take you back to heaven? I said, no, because he's not like that. Because he knows if he takes me now, I've got more family up there. I got more reasons to go than to stay. And he would never do that to me. He'd never take me back up there again until it's my time. Because there's just too many. I've gone through too much. I've gone through too much suffering. I feel closer to heaven every day rather than this earth. And, but Jesus isn't like that. He doesn't do things. He's not vindictive or, you know, he loves us. And he'll never do anything like that to bring more harm to us and more suffering. No, he won't. Now, he's shown me dreams and visions of things happening on this earth. And things we might go through to prepare me, but no. No, that's it. My next time is either the rapture or I've died. So, and I'm not coming back. I've already told him, don't you ever take me back ever, because I'm not coming back this time. And, but every time anybody starts thinking about heaven, Jeremy always looks, he just watches me. He says, I just watch you. Because you just have this look. Like, I can't even understand. He says, I want to understand. I said, you will one day. You'll understand when you get there. You'll understand. I've told him, I said, promise me if I go before you. I said, you better not do anything to lose your salvation. Because I'm going to be waiting right there for you. I'm sorry, honey. And my friends and my family, you know, if I go for some of you, then I promise I'll be waiting on you just as my mama and Craig was for me to say hi. And I'm so happy that I'm still able to share this with, you know, with those who are to hear it. But anyway, that's my story. I hope it blesses you and it helps you through the hard times that you may be facing, and to not lose hope, because heaven's real and Jesus is real. And there's nothing on this earth worth losing your salvation and your soul to, because all heaven, the little glimpse I got was so, so amazing. I never had a thought of this old world when I was there. So I'm going to let Jeremy, he's going to sing you a song and then he's going to pray. But I hope you have been blessed and encouraged. And if you would like to message us or anything, you have a prayer need, we'll be happy to pray with you. God bless you, and Jeremy, let's take us out with a song and prayer.
So I'm going to pray real quick, and this will be the end of our Facebook and YouTube video. We'll spend a little time in prayer and worship.
No, you sing.
But this is for the podcast part. Now, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just pray for right now for those that will be here in the podcast and watch the broadcast live tonight, that you'll just continue to strengthen people's lives as they have a glimpse of heaven through my life and Miranda's life, and the lives of others that have shared and talked about what Jesus is, what Jesus means, being in the presence of God, that we go forward and do what he's called us to do, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, that we will lay down whatever's in our life, those burdens, those things that are holding us back, keeping us from doing what God's called us to do, that we'll go forward and be that person you want us to be, because right now, you are showing yourself in so many different ways by revealing yourself to people directly and changing people's lives, healing people's lives, changing situations, stopping things from happening, making the miraculous happen, and just the ordinary stuff that people do. You're everywhere. So God, we just want you to continue to send that message out, go forward and be that light in those people's lives. Just go forth and send that Holy Spirit into their lives and help them, guide them, and direct them. By the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.